nice weekday suit. He's got something similar to that, but not quite, not what you normally wear. Can he wash? Can he bring to the laundry? Can he wash that suit that he would normally wear on Yom Tov on Shabbos? But although he's got an alternative, but it's not as respectful as normally. Is that considered choluk echad? He only got one cloth, or to be honest, he's got an alternative. So he should, by all means, wear alternative rather than washing what he normally wears on Yom Tov. What would you say?
If he's got an alternative, he doesn't need to wash. If he's got something that's perfectly good, then he doesn't need to wash it.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
The minimum tircha, right?
So he can send it off to the drying cleaner and he'll have it ready. So it's minimal tircha, but it is really normally an issa. The poskim say, because he's got, as far as his Yom Tov is concerned, it's considered choluk echad. It's considered that cloth that he would normally wear. So if he only had one. If he normally wouldn't wear these weekday trousers, he wouldn't normally wear it on Yom Tov. If he normally wouldn't wear that particular suit, he wouldn't wear it normally on Yom Tov because it's designated for weekday. So therefore, it's considered the head of choluk echad, as if you had one pair of clothing. That's the clothing that he normally wears. And therefore, the chomim allow it, and they are matir, and he is allowed to wash it on Chol HaMoed. An interesting question, which there is no clear consensus, is with regards to Big Day Ketanim. It's interesting that although it's so incredibly relevant and so incredibly common, and it happens so much, there's no sharp, clear-cut definition in the poskim. We learned, if I go back to page 10, the top, very much the last word of the previous page, or the top of this page, Big Day Ketanim, children's clothes. And Rama again goes to town about children's clothes. What does it mean, children's clothes? Or what does it actually mean, children's clothes? So we understand children are not allowed to be washed. The Rama explains, I'm going through the words again of the Rama. Children's clothes that tend to get very, very dirty. You're allowed to wash it even 4 to 5 times in one go, because children tend to get their clothes very, very dirty. So now the question is, what age group is he really talking about? What does ketanim mean in this context? Which age children are allowed to wash? And it's very surprising, but you look in the poskim, and there's very little written about defining ketanim over here. What would you say? What age is he referring to? 3 years old. Why 3?
From that age, as they're constantly getting dirty. So
above three, they tend to be a bit more conscious and less dirty. Would everybody agree with that?
Children.
Okay, so if you're talking about messy children, where would you go? Up to what age?
0 to 100.
100 years old.
I've never encountered a child that's not messy. I mean, I'm messy myself.
Yeah, so you're saying. So what age group are we? Until what age group, according to you, Reb Yossel, until when could you apply this heta?
11.
Very good.
Seriously.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, so it's very interesting. There's two approaches in the poskim, and again, it's a contemporary poskim, because previous poskim don't really address this question so explicitly. I don't know why. It must have been obvious for some reason what ketanim means. So some poskim look at it very literally. It's a ketanim. What is ketanim normally? Ketanim means minors. Normally, in regular context, minor means pre-bar mitzvah. So if it's pre-bar mitzvah, then anything under 12 will be categorized as clothing which is permitted to be washed. 10 years old can be very soiled sometimes, can get very dirty. You've seen plenty of 8 years old that are not conscious of their clothing and it gets very, very dirty. Look at the shirts after day in school. It gets sometimes over 8 years old, 10 years old even. It gets very dirty. So many poskim, contemporary poskim, say ktanim may mean literally ktanim pre bar mitzvah. Very much in line with what Yossel suggests. You know, so there is poskim who allow, and this is perhaps the minority poskim nowadays, but there are clearly poskim who allow that yes, anybody before bar mitzvah you can wash their clothes. Other poskim are more stringent and more machmir. Other poskim will say that no, ktanim, soiling their clothes, it's not talking about getting a little bit dirty, like adults will get their clothing dirty. Because then you're going to allow adults' clothing as well to be washed, and that's clearly not the case. So they want to suggest that ktanim uvia means if it's exceedingly dirty, and as the mashmos of the Rama is, that you need to change their clothes a few times a day. So we're talking about that extreme level of dirt. Which as in context of the Rama, you know, it's talking about nappies still and very, very young children, perhaps until 3 years old. Perhaps you can push that a little bit more, but not much beyond that. So those poskim will say that, no, once he reaches, that kind of age that he normally can pull through the day with the same set of clothing, then he's categorized as a godel, and then you, as far as this is concerned, al kaponim, you won't be allowed to wash his clothing at that stage anymore. So that's the machlokes haposkim. It is very hard. I've asked around the Yonim and Rabbonim in previous Chol HaMoed to have a clarity in it, and it remains a discussion, and there's a bit of a lack of, in my opinion, there's a bit of a lack of consensus in terms of how we actually paskin in that. So there's pretty much everything from 3 years old till bar mitzvah, pick and choose. You know, you have to know whom you ask in terms of what the halach is, halach lemaise. We are ready for safe base. Call in page 10 in our editions. Call clay pished on mutter lechapson. Linen cloth can be washed. That's another exception. Linen clothing can be washed. That's not the custom, though. So in principle, it's one of those things that really, in principle, it's something which is permitted. But it is something which is mutter. But there are some people who are stringent about it. Minority people are stringent. And you're not allowed to allow tiron bifneim. You're not allowed to allow bifneim in front of them. So this is something which is linen. Is really something which is mutter. But many are machmir. So since you're machmir, respect that as well. What's that exactly? What's the head of linen? Mishnah Berurah explains and say if cotton you'd base. These are clothes that gets very dirty. And additionally, it's not so hard to actually wash it. So on the one hand, it gets quickly very dirty. On the other hand, it's something which gets very quickly, it's easy to wash it off. Therefore, linen is in principle not included in the gzera. Really, linen should be something which is permitted to wash. However many are stringent, then we respect, and therefore, we are machmi on the whole in terms of linen as well. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Tziv Gimel, Mevin mi beis ha'uman kelim, shemetzorech ha'moed. If you've got clothes which are bringing to the professional to be washed, mevin mi beis ha'uman kelim, you bring from the uman clothing, which are needed for the moed. So we have learned that garments which you need for Yom Tov, for Cholamet, you'll have to bring it to wash. Okay, we've learned Tzorech HaMoed. Kegoin, such as, not just actual garments, but there's also korim, blankets, v'ksosois, blankets and pillows, v'tzloichies, which is also additional, additional garments, which you're allowed to wash them for Yom Tov. Aval kelim she'en l'tzorech ha'moed. But now, if it's kelim which you're not going to need for Yom Tov at all, what are kelim in this context? Is not garments, but general kelim. Kelim she'en l'tzorech ha'moed, which are not needed for Yom Tov. Kugoyin machesha, which is a plow. Oitzeme, which is dye. Beis hatzava, from the dyer, from the one who actually produces the dye. En mevin, you're allowed to bring it. So this is an extra issa, which is very interesting. It's very relevant. There's an additional issa. You're not allowed to pick up kelim which you're not going to need on Yom Tov. So, for instance, the plow is one example, the die another example. All these things, you're not going to need them on Chol HaMoed. You're not going to need them on Yom Tov. Consequently, you're not even allowed to go and pick them up. So it will be an equivalent contemporary comparison. You're just not allowed to go and pick up kelim, utensils, equipment, which you're not going to need on Chol HaMoed. So, what would be an example for that nowadays?
A work computer.
Yeah. So it's a good example. If you have a work computer, you've got it by the IT technician, and you want to pick it up, so that would be also, you're right, based on what we're seeing now, you'll be allowed to pick it up. You're not going to use it. And you've brought it in before Yom Tov. But he texts you just before, you know, it's ready for pickup. You don't have time until Chol HaMoed. You may not go and pick it up on Chol HaMoed. If you've got anything else designated for work, if you've got a work car, for instance, same halach will apply there. I mean, if you're using the car for personal use, that's going to be another discussion. We'll get to that, Mitzshem. But if it's something which is designated for work, you may not pick it up. Dry clean is a bit more sticky because, on the one hand, you know, why would be a hetter to pick something up from the dry cleaner? What could be okay? Why could it be okay? Why could it be okay, perhaps, to pick up some of the dry cleaner?
If you're
going to
wear it on Yom Tov.
It's interesting. I remember I had once a shayla that Sue was by the dry cleaners, and I needed it for Yom Tov. But it's going back quite a few years ago, and I asked. I wasn't even here. But I asked the Dayan who forbade it, who said, no, you can't pick it up because of this halach over here. So looking at it now, I think there is perhaps reason to be matir, but there's certainly an issa to just pick something up from a professional. There's an issa. So one has to be very aware of that. So even if it's a tzarech hamoed, but since you're picking something up from a professional, there's an issa involved. We continue. If the professional is somebody who has got no... if the professional's got somebody that's got nothing to eat, so for his own personal sake, you want to pick it up and pay him. You want to pay him, you're allowed to pay him. And you can just keep it there. So pay him by all means. He's hungry, he needs his panos, he deserves to be paid. So you pay him what he deserves, but you leave it there. So listen here, here's your £15, here's your 60 quid, just keep it and I'll pick it up after Yom Tov. That's fine. Don't say, oh, listen, yeah, I'm not going to pick it up. I'll therefore only pay you after Yom Tov. No, if he's in that kind of state, financial stress, that he's got nothing else to eat, then pay him, but don't pick up the item.
Rabbi, can I clarify something?
Yeah.
If you're going to pick up something from the dry cleaners, didn't we say that... if one's got one garment or one's Yom Tov suit or Shabbat suit becomes dirty and you're allowed to then hand it in, then surely you're allowed to pick it up as well.
Yeah.
So what are we saying here?
So I suppose you're right. So if it is that kind of scenario that it is the only garment that he could wear and it's defined as choluk echol, then you're right. That scenario you'd be able to pick it up. You're right. I agree with you. Yeah. But if it's a second item which you would ideally like to wear, first wear that suit, and you know, then and the first one is still perfectly wearable, then it would be an issa. Yeah, but yeah, thank you for clarifying, you're right. Okay, the Mishtabuin Zivkot Tezvov tells us why is it that there's a special issa to pick up from the professional an item. Why is that? Mishtabu says, Mishum Shizbur Shinosan Esakne Bemoid, Vyomri Shuman Tikne Bemoid. Mishum, because Shizbur, people will think, Shinosan Esakne Bemoid, people think that I gave it to the professional on Chol HaMoed to fix it. Vyomru, and they will say, Shuman Tikne Bemoid, and they'll say that the professional needs, you gave it based on Chol HaMoed. Any battery, urgent. And people will think that it was given based on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, in order to avoid that, Chomim said, you know, you're not allowed to pick anything up during Chol HaMoed from the professional. We carry on, bottom line. What happens if you're not trusting the professional? If you think that he's gonna, if I don't pay him now, who knows what's gonna happen? If I don't pick it up now, he's gonna keep that. Yossel's example, he's gonna keep the computer. If I don't pick up my car now, he's gonna keep it. Who knows what's gonna happen? So therefore, if I'm worried about that, if I don't trust him, then you're allowed to then pay him, pick it up, and keep it next door. So don't take it home, just keep it next door. Menichon bevais, to keep it in the house, hasamuchloi, which is near the professional. Vimchoshishin, if you're still concerned, shamoignevu, you're still worried it's going to get stolen. You know, I want to keep it in my premises, in my property, because I don't know what's going to happen. Then, mefan lechatzacheres, you're allowed to move it to another chotze, near to my house. Avolo yeviem leveisoi, popim as it may, you know, may not bring it to your own house. So bring it closer to your own property, bring it to your own house, bring it to your neighbor, bring it to your next door neighbor, that's all right. Have a lawyer, VM Leveisoi, but do not bring it into your own house. Elo Betzina, only if really necessary, you can have to bring it, but it's going to be in private. So again, the point is, there's an Issa de Rabbanon. You may not pick up something from the professional, because people are going to make the wrong assumptions. You may not pick up something, an item which would appear that is not necessarily tzorich hamoed. So, and if it's really, if you're really concerned that if I'm not picking him up now, I'm going to lose it, it's going to get stolen, it's going to get lost, he will drown somehow in the, if you're worried about that, then you're allowed to pick it up and bring it nearby. Don't bring it to your house unless it's absolutely necessary. If it is an absolute necessity to bring it to your house because you're concerned it's going to get lost or stolen, then you may bring it, but it's going to have to be in private and quietly without anybody noticing it. Let's start Simon Tovkuf Lamed Hey. Shloine Fanus Mechotze Lechotze B'chol HaMoed. Moving house. You know, to move house on Chol HaMoed. Somebody bought, he bought a new house, he bought a new flat, and he wants to move on Chol HaMoed. Is that permitted? You know, to move house. Often you're unable to actually change the date, and ideally you'd want to move a week later or move a couple of weeks later, it would be more convenient. But what if you can't change it? It's going to be on Chol HaMoed. Can you move house or flat on Chol HaMoed?
House or flat, Chol HaMoed. You can certainly do it if it involves a financial loss to not do it, right? You can show the financial loss.
You're saying financial loss, we'll get to that. Very good, we'll get to that. Financial loss, very good.
If it doesn't cause a financial loss, it's probably awesome.
Okay, very good.
If there's no financial loss.
So if there's no financial loss, it's going to be also. Why is that? Why would you say it's also?
Over to the
Chol. Good, let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, let's get. You may not move from one chotzer to another, from one courtyard to another on Chol HaMoed. You may not move from one courtyard to the next. Even from a nice, into a nice flat. So you had a smaller one, not so nice, and you're moving into upgrading. You're getting into a nicer house or a nicer flat. You're not allowed to. You're not to move the house, you're not to move the items, just the actual moving of items into the new property. You're not to do that. Because that is not tzorich hamoed, you don't necessarily need it on Chol HaMoed, so therefore it's also. The kolsh can even more so also le'asiya memoinoi me'ir le'ir, and certainly not from one city to the next. You may not move from one city to the next. It's not permitted. The exception to that is avol mefanu mebayis lebayis ba'oisei chotzer. If you're literally moving in within the same courtyard, remember how in Chazal's times the houses were set up. It was one courtyard, and within that courtyard there was a few houses. So if you're literally moving from one house to the next house within the same courtyard, so you're literally moving across the garden, so that is permitted. Mefanu mebayis lebayis ba'oisei chotzer, within the same courtyard it's permitted, otherwise it's not. Yosla was quite right. The reason for that, in Sef Kotn Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah says, Ein mefanu mishum tircha. It is a great tircha. And the Rishonim also say, the Loshna Levush says, Zilzul. It's a zilzul. It's disrespectful for the Yom Tov. It's a tircha, to schlep around things. We all know the stress of moving house. It's a very great stress. It's going to ruin completely. It's going to destroy the whole Yom Tov atmosphere altogether. It's disrespectful for the Yom Tov, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. However, if it's from bais to bais, within the same, it's not a big deal. You know, you just literally go around, just across. So that's not a big deal. Chomim umati that. Yeah, so that's pretty much the halacha of moving.
How does that translate to nowadays? Can you move up the road?
I don't think so, no. I would say that up the road is probably it would not be the equivalent of chotzer to chotzer, within the same chotzer. I think it's more from one chotzer to the next. The Emma says, I'm struggling a little bit to understand this concept, why within the same chotzer it's okay. Because I remember when I moved quite a few years ago, five, six years ago, I moved. And then the guy told me that once it's in the van, it doesn't make a difference how far we're going. You know, once it's in the lorry, it doesn't make a difference if it's across the road or the other side of England. It doesn't make a difference. So I hear that concept very well, because it's the main struggle is to pack it and to have it compact and to have it ready for ready for transport. Once it's in that setting, the distance doesn't really matter so much. So I'm not quite sure why within the same chotzer it's so much easier.
Perhaps back then in Chazal's days, when you have cart and wagon and horses and donkeys and you're all schlepping it all, that's much more of a tilcha than just going where you can just walk it from one house to another.
Yeah, maybe they didn't have to pack it up. Maybe they literally took one item after the next, and it was not, perhaps. Either way, it would appear that it's more. Pardon?
But people just didn't have as much stuff. People have, one plate and there was less stuff in those days.
Yeah, so probably that's true as well. Yeah. So that's probably true as well. Yeah, for sure it's true. So either way, it was something which was within the same chotzer, it was okay. I would assume that across, just if you're moving from one flat to the next within the same street, it will still be also. Okay, gentlemen, to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned that that linen cloth is in principle okay. We learned about picking up items from the professional is also, if you've got to do it, you do it in quiet, in private. We also learned that moving is also, in principle, moving is also. However, if it's within the same chotzer, okay, that's it for this evening.